If you're buying from a self-proclaimed experienced investor who promises to hold your hand and take care of all the paperwork, that's a red flag. Beware, caution. I mean, you should have everything screaming at you. Danger, danger, danger.
You're listening to 5-Hour Real Estate Week, where you'll learn to consistently buy real estate in only 5 hours a week. So if you're ready to invest in real estate, achieve financial freedom, and own the lifestyle you deserve, even with your job, this is the show for you. Now, here's your host, Mike Butler.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the 5-Hour Real Estate Week podcast. My name's Mike Butler, and today's episode are some do's and don'ts on using land contracts, contract for deeds, and the do's and don'ts, and with a little bit of options on top. Okay, so make sure you check out episode number 78, which gives you more information on this topic in a little more detail. But I was prompted for today's topic by a big article in the USA Today newspaper titled, and this got under my skin, "Is Home Ownership Via a Land Contract Worth It?" And it had a subtitle, "Consumer Watchdogs Say the Practice Can Be Predatory." Well, they had a pretty big article about some lady up in Detroit in Shanghai by an investor who ended up not paying property taxes and all kinds of things. And it just got real ugly and she got evicted from her home, assuming probably she didn't pay her monthly payments on her land contract, whatever it was. Okay. And I didn't read all the details, but in America, me and you as investors, we are the ones that have the deep pockets, according to our society. So everything I'm going to share with you in this episode is the result of all of my good and bad experiences on this topic. And I'm going to share with having worked with hundreds of investors who got clobbered in this arena in both areas, both buying and selling. Okay. So it's very important that you get a good grasp and wrap your head around what you can and can't do, the do's and don'ts, the pros and cons. And because I'm telling you, the seminar, the school of hard knocks, the real world war stories, they are very, very expensive. So let's begin with a basic real estate transaction. Okay, so let's say you're going to your title company or your real estate attorney, you're going to do a closing. Normally, you got a buyer and you got a seller. Okay, so for the most part, you have two hats. One is a buyer, one is a seller. Now, each hat has its own unique, important parts to protect you. But it's up to you, it's up to me, it's up to us to discover, learn, educate ourselves about that on how we can protect ourselves better. Now, real estate agents, you might look to them for guidance on finding a deal or who is selling the property or something like that. But do they really understand what is best for you as the real estate investor, whether you're buying or whether you're selling? No, they just want to get through that, get the commission. Now, don't get me wrong. There's a ton of great real estate agents and brokers out there that work great with investors, okay? But the majority of them, as a rule of thumb, how many real estate agents are investors? You see so many realtors out there, real estate agents, that don't want to have anything to do with investing in real estate. So there are some rules that each hat has. And so remember that you got one hat as a buyer, another hat is a seller. Each hat has its own unique, important parts to protect you. When you're the buyer, there's some rules that you got to etch in stone. And when you're the seller, there's some rules you got to etch in stone as well. Two different areas, two different arenas, things to consider. So since I mentioned this USA Today article, let's start with you being the seller and wanting to help folks by offering seller financing to folks who might not be able to get a home loan to buy. You got a big heart. I got a big heart. I thought that was awesome to help folks with the path to home ownership. Not in today's world. All right, put the brakes on that one. No, never, never, ever offer any kind of seller financing on an owner-occupant property. And don't do this. Don't try to take something that's black and white and make it gray, because guess who's going to lose if it gets ugly? You will. So don't get somebody to sign. Let's say you got somebody that wants to buy one of your properties and you're willing to sell or finance it and they're going to live in it. Don't get them to sign a form and say they're not going to live in it and all that. It's just going to blow up. So rule number one, okay, never, ever offer any kind of seller financing on an owner-occupant property, period. Okay, period. I will not be a hard money lender, private lender on to anyone except real estate investors, and it cannot be a loan on their residence. So why do we do this? Why do I say this? Because of consumer protection, predatory lending, RESPA, and a whole bunch of other laws that can come out of the closet, skeletons in the closet that come out and bite you in the butt. Now, you're an angel today when you help them buy a home like that, but give it a few months or a couple of years and you're going to grow horns and you're going to be the biggest devil that ever was picking on these kind of people. So rule number one, never, ever offer any kind of seller financing to an owner-occupant, period. You call it tenant-buyer, you can call it whatever, okay? Never, ever do that. So that's a simple solution. You can achieve your same goal and objective or a better result by letting them rent the home and then let them purchase an option to buy on the property. So you got two separate things going on here. Oh, they want to rent the home and live in it. Okay, that's fine. You got a lease. You got a rental agreement. Oh, they also want to do an option to buy on it. Okay, that's something totally different. And they can purchase an option to buy. We're not going to make this an option episode, but that's how you can achieve the same thing. And never, ever, ever give any part of the rent payment towards a purchase price, because guess what? That's seller financing. You cannot evict them. Now you got to foreclose on them. So don't do that. So they can keep renewing their option every year until they can get a loan to cash you out. That's the safest way for you. That's how I know, because I had a $30,000 seminar on that in a county next to mine here in my hometown. So another rule, okay, etch this in stone. Never sell something you do not own. Now, I'm not talking about doing an assignment of a contract or wholesaling a deal or doing double closings or anything like that. That's all fine. But if you hear the word sandwich lease options, do like Forrest Gump did. Run, Forrest, run. Okay. And long story short on that, I'll tell you about Greg W. On how he, horrible. Let me get a little more on that sandwich lease option thing here. The way that works is you find a property that has a motivated seller and you convince them to let you lease it. Okay. And give you the authority to pick whoever you want to rent it out. That takes a whole lot of sales skills, doesn't it? Well, if you can pull that off, why not just get the deed at the get-go? And then you can sell some. Long story short, I've seen investors this happen to them over and over again. They'll work with a seller. They'll convince them to let them do a lease with option to buy. So they rent the property. Okay. And they put a small option fee on it and they got locked in purchase price, let's say for 12 months or 18 months or 2 years. And then they turn around and they try to sell it on a lease option with a higher sale price and a higher option fee. So now they got a tenant buyer. So you're doing a lease with option to buy. This is called sandwich lease option. Dangerous. Don't do it. So somebody gives you a big chunk of cash. They move into the house. They start fixing it up. And then they call you up, I don't know, 9 months down the road and said, hey, looky here. Our loan's getting approved. We're going to be closing in about 2 weeks. And then the investor calls up the seller, and the seller doesn't want to have anything to do with it, will not cooperate. What are you going to do? What are you going to do if you can't sell them that house? I mean, it's ugly. What if your seller's in a coma? What if your seller died? What if? Okay. All of that is 100% preventable. You can prevent 100% of that by sticking to this rule. Never sell something you don't own. So make sure you own it first, okay? Then you can sell it. But anyway, so that's a little sandwich lease option stuff. But anyway, when you're the buyer, now we're going to switch hats here. So when you're the buyer, seller financing is okay, provided you have a real professional closing at your title company or real estate attorney, because we want to protect you. You want to protect yourself. Always buy title insurance. I'll do another session on that later, another episode. Always get a closing statement and ensure that all the docs are recorded properly. I'm getting ready to tell you a war story here. Now, if you're buying from a self-proclaimed experienced investor who promises to hold your hand and take care of all the paperwork, that's a red flag. Beware, caution. I mean, you should have everything screaming at you. Danger, you know, danger, Will Robinson, danger, danger. Okay. Now, I'm not saying all investors are bad. I'm just saying that in any industry, any occupation, there are bad apples and there are sharks out there. So let me tell you a real true fervor story of a new investor named Greg. I'm not going to say his last name to protect the innocent here. He was a new investor who was excited about it. He was a handyman, painter, had his own business and stuff. He hooked up with one of these investors who I did not know. And this happened in my hometown. And this investor sold him a property, a duplex. It was beat up, not livable, needed all kinds of repairs. It was a fixer-upper, it was a duplex. He sold it to him on contract for deed. And so Greg was all excited and pumped up. He goes out and buys all the material and fixes this place up, maxes out his credit cards, maxes out his Lowe's account, his Home Depot account, and he made both units super nice, and he rented them out. Now he's got tenants in there paying rent. So now when he gets to that point, he goes to a bank or some lender somewhere and applies to get his long-term financing put in place so he could refinance it and cash out his seller that he's buying it from. Well, while he's doing that with the application on his loan process, this shyster investor seller goes over and meets the tenants at the duplex, telling them that Greg was just the contractor working on the place and to pay him the rent. Oh my gosh. And that seller investor shark just kicked Greg to the curb. Well, guess what? Greg had all them credit card bills to pay, the Lowe's. He couldn't get his refi, his loan, he's out the appraisal, the application fee, all this and that. Long story short, Greg ended up filing bankruptcy. Now, could he have filed a lawsuit? Yeah, and gone after him, perhaps. I don't know. I didn't follow up on that. But here's my point, guys. Be careful, okay? It's real easy. It's real, okay? Education and knowledge and stuff is what's going to help you keep those assets. So the bottom line, there are sharks everywhere in every industry. Do your homework and your due diligence. You've worked too hard right now for everything that you've achieved so far, especially like listening right now to this episode. So let's focus. I want you to focus on keeping your assets and great coaching and training. So I'm going to invite you to sign up for a private one-on-one strategy session with me, because I don't want to see anything like what happened to Greg or some of these other folks happen to you. And so if you feel like you got, wow, here's a great opportunity or this and that, well, let's hook up with somebody that can help you out on that and help you analyze it and see what, if there's it, make sure every I's dotted, every T's crossed, so that you don't have a skeleton in your closet that could blow up on you. Okay, so just go to mikebutler.com and you can sign up for a private one-on-one strategy with me, or you can call my office at 502-709-9889. And if you're getting started in real estate, please go listen to episodes 1-10. It's a mini course on getting started. And I'm going to ask for your help right now, because if you like what you're learning here, click the follow button, subscribe button, or the share button or whatever, and go out and buy my number one bestseller book, Landlording on Autopilot book. It's on Amazon. And sign up for my free Power Lunch Investor trainings. They happen every Tuesday at noon. You can get that at mikebutler.com. Beware of the contract for deeds, land contracts, and your options. And see you on the next episode. Adios. Bye-bye.
Glad you joined us for another episode of 5-Hour Real Estate Week. The best thing you can do now is put this information to action. To help you get started, Mike created a free resource for you called How to Buy 50 Houses a Year, Even with Your Job. Download it now by going to mikebutler.com/50houses. And we'll see you on the next episode.